Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the Rod Peterson Show, Canada's only mid-morning sports talk show, coming to you from the bunker here in Western Canada, where it's a little warm. One of our next guests says it's too hot for him. He'll be fine. He'd be freezing his butt off in a rink for the next 2 days. So if you missed hour one, just a distinct pleasure to be joined by Kevin Killer Kaminsky, the head coach of the LaRange Ice Wolves and general manager too, NHL fighter. He is a hockey guy, and he's in town for the SJHL-MJHL showcase. And we welcome to the program here in hour two the presidents of those respective leagues, Bill Chow and our good friend Kim Davis from Manitoba. We welcome to the bunker. How's it going, guys?
Good. Real good. Thank you.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem. It's bright lights, Bill?
It's not too hot. It's just the temperature's warm in the room.
I gotcha. Yeah, you didn't break out into a sweat there, did you, from
not
those
yet.
Bright lights? This is a lot of fun, and we, you know, way back, Kelly Rempel was with us at the start of the show. We talked about all-star games and which is the best one, NHL, Major League Baseball, the Pro Bowl, and so forth. I know, guys, that it might be oversimplifying things to call what's going on in Regina the next 2 days an all-star game. And I'll start with you, Bill, just because it's your town, I guess. But it's kind of an all-star game.
Kind of. I mean, what we've done is the coaches from both leagues, they have their coaches committee, and along with the coach from each team in the league, they have their conference calls, or that's how we did it. And they select the players, and they go through their process to get the players on those teams and vote for their players and players across the league, and hopefully they come up with the best players in the league to be on these teams.
Mm-hmm. And Kim, for you, it's always a road trip for you, eh? Not that you've been doing this a ton, but...
No. Yeah, a little bit of a road trip. Not too bad. We've been pretty fortunate for the 3 years, including this year. We haven't had any real bad weather. I mean, the first year, I remember it was terribly cold across the West everywhere. So, it was, just the challenge of dealing with the cold. But we've been pretty fortunate with logistics and everything, getting all the players here from Manitoba. So... We've always been, the hospitality here has been great. Hotel's been great. Meals great. And, get the games going and away we go. So,
well, we're all like Manitoba communities. We're all great hockey communities here. And for those that missed off the top of the show, the NHL scouts that will be here, the college scouts are all saying this is one-stop shopping. They can come all see the best of their age group from each league all in one rink with six games. Now, the cool part, and I'll get you both to explain this, the names of the teams and how they were determined. Bill, I'll start with you with the SJHL teams.
Basically, it was just the coaches' committee that determined, players' prominence that had some impact on our league, in the recent times, obviously, because, if you go through the names being Schwartz, Mitchell, and
Kunitz,
obviously they've just had some, Schwartz is still in the league, and Mitchell had a prominent league career, as well as Kunitz had a prominent career in the NHL and made an impact on the SJHL as well.
See, what I love about this, obviously I know a little bit about SJHL history, wrote a book on it. Right. But the MJ, talk about your teams, Kim, because I didn't know Eddie Belfour played in the MJ.
Yeah, well, I think it's very similar to what Bill described. I think the coaches from both leagues got together and they came up with the idea of trying to identify some former players that had made an impact on the respective leagues. And I think it's virtually the same for us. Ed Belfour, played a couple of years in Winkler, Travis Zajac, and Ryan Garbutt. So, again, we could probably look at maybe refreshing the names a little bit, as time goes on and to the extent we continue doing this event. But, at the time, 3 years ago, when we came up with those names, those were the ones that sort of popped off the minds of the coaches at the time.
How long have you been president of the MJ?
This is my 18th season.
So you got a little history in there.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I was listening, to some of your earlier guests and talking about sort of the way things were in earlier days in hockey, not just in junior hockey, but across the board. And, as you'd expect, things evolve and change over time, for sure. And, you see a lot of different things, and most of it really, really good.
I wouldn't want to put you on the spot, but if you were to refresh the MJ names, who would come to mind? And Bill, for you, same thing. It would be hard. You got some pretty good names here, say Jack Garbutt and Belfour.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd have to sit down and think
about it. Really would, you know. And I think, you know, for us, the names that we have is kind of what we wanted to kind of where we
promote,
we wanted to be. In terms of that, but we'd really have to think about it for sure.
I'd have to sit down and think about it, Rod, and you know, really put some thought into it, and not that the thought wasn't put into the three names that we have currently, but just to, you know, come down and figure that out would I wouldn't be able to do it right now.
Kim brought up a good point about how the game's changed. Obviously, it was too crazy the one way, but people are talking about the lack of hitting, not just in junior A, major, junior, NHL. How did this happen?
Well, I think to Killer's comments, you know, the speed of the game, from my perspective, I think that obviously, you know, when it comes to the skill level and skating ability of the players nowadays, I think that's taken away from this, from the contact of the game, because there's so much emphasis on the speed and the skill. I think that has something to do with it. I think, you know, it's more of positioning now than making the big body check. And, you know, and I think, you know, does it have something to do with the injury process as to, you know, those possible injuries coming from that? I think you've had a change in the rules as well that prevents some of those contacts and some of those hits being made. So I think it's just a number of different things that have kind of come along, and you know, this is where we're at.
Yeah. How would you answer that, Ken?
Yeah, no. What I guess what I would add to it is that in conjunction with that, the coaching is so much, I guess I'll say, better, because they have access to more resources to break down games. And so if you make a mistake by, you know, getting out of position wildly or being crazy with that, and even worse, if you take a penalty, you know, the power play units these days on virtually every team, they go through, you know, ups and downs in terms of how well they do, but they're so potent that, you know, if you take a penalty, a bad penalty for you know, doing something that's against the rules, you're going to pay for it, and coaches hate that, right? So, you know, I think it's not just one thing; it's all of that together, and you know, we get to this point. So, I mean, I don't think it's quite as easy as what Bill and I have described, but I think those are some of the things that come to my mind when I think about that question, for sure.
Two league presidents; it's an honor to have them in the bunker here. Bill Chow from the SJHL, Kim Davis from the MJHL. We do have a lot of SJHL viewers daily on the program, Kim. So, I just want to ask you about the MJ and the landscape of the league. Winnipeg's now supporting the NHL, the American Hockey League, the WHL, and Junior A. And I said, if there's any city in Canada that could do it, it's Winnipeg. So what's the Junior A component of that?
Well, the Winnipeg Blues are in that market as well. And they, you know, again, as I said earlier, in a different context, the game's evolving and changing. One of the things, my personal view on sort of the amount of hockey that's in the market in Winnipeg in particular, is that I think it's a good thing, frankly. I mean, the more that we have major media and all media, social media from whatever avenue that comes, talking about hockey, and we're part of that mix, I think that's the better, you know. And obviously there's ebbs and flows to the positive nature of stories and what people are talking about the game, but to the extent that all the stories and the things that are being talked about are good and positive and talk about the good aspects of the game, I think that suits all of us better. You know, to me, I just believe that you know, it's great to be in the market and working together with those organizations as well. We don't obviously work together closely on a day-to-day basis, but we're all part of a big community. We've seen that over time. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of how I sort of net out on it.
More hockey, the better. What are you pointing at, Bill?
Well, Mr. Davis here has a fan. Looks like Mr. Heaps is watching from Scottsdale.
John Heaps is watching, and he has a question from Scottsdale, Arizona. Mm. Did you, Kim Davis, play for Flin Flon?
Yes, I did. Actually,
wow.
I was born there and raised there and played junior hockey there. Yep, you bet.
Whitney Forum's on my bucket list.
Oh, you got to get there. You got to get there.
I'm only flying. That's the caveat.
It's a nice drive. It's a really nice drive.
You got to have some money to fly up there.
Yeah.
Well, we can swing it.
Yeah. It's a really nice drive. It's not that bad. Leaving from Prince Albert, it's a little over, 3.5-4 hours kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the terrain's nice if you go at the right time of the year.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we had a deal lined up, and Bill, you're probably not aware of this, but if Flin Flon had made it to the league final last year, your sponsor, Global Agris, was going to fly us up there to do the television. But we were waiting for Flin Flon to get to the league final.
Well, then you better
sprung it on you.
You better have a talk with them this year and tell them to make sure they get there.
Yes, exactly. One other thing. Well, talking about more hockey, the better in Winnipeg. Similar to the NHL going into Seattle. And Bill, for those that don't know, worked for the Thunderbirds in Seattle for how long? Actually, when we met, you were working for Seattle.
Yeah, so I was with the Prince Albert Raiders for about 8 years, and I went to Seattle for 8 or 9, and then I ended up with Spokane for 10.
So along the same topic, I wondered with the NHL going into Seattle, would it hurt Seattle and Everett? Called my guys out there, and they said, no, we love it. More hockey, the better in the Seattle area.
Yeah, so with Seattle, I mean, actually, I don't remember the name of the city, but the Seattle Thunderbirds actually play about 45 minutes south of Seattle. So I think, from a demographic area, it'll draw more attention to that whole area for hockey and probably help more than hinder them.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, speaking of big centers, Regina and Saskatoon don't have SJHL teams. Yet. But there's a lot of players. Bill knows this is my thing. I'd like to see major. I wouldn't have to drive so far.
Yep. It's all about you.
Exactly. Doesn't fit into my schedule. Joe Young, top goalie in the SJ right now. Can you talk about the players from Regina and Saskatoon? Not to name names, but just sort of the impact of the SJ from the big centers in the league.
Well, I think to answer that question, I think you kind of have to back it up a little bit, because what you have is, obviously, in those two centers, you have more young people playing the game of hockey than in rural Saskatchewan from smaller areas, smaller centers. So, it's that's where the demographics are. So then you have that many more kids available to play at a higher level, because, if you take a look, Regina has a AAA team, Saskatoon has two AAA teams, midget teams. So, obviously there's that pyramid moving up to the higher level. So you have that ability to have players playing. Obviously, training facilities are a lot easier to access for those young people. And so, and plus, when you take a look around the city of Regina and you take a look at the training facilities and the different people that are doing skills training for hockey players and power skating, those just are things that are more accessible, right or wrong, but that's just the way it is. So I think it's that part of it that allows those kids to develop and be able to move on to higher levels easier than somebody from a smaller town in rural Saskatchewan. There's a lot of people from rural Saskatchewan that are committed, but obviously they've got to do some driving, and they do some driving.
Big time. But is there still stories of that? We could name tons of examples of rural kids who you had to drag off the dugout or drag off the ice. Are there still those stories?
I believe so. I mean, maybe Kim, because Kim's demographics and locations are similar to Saskatchewan. But I think, it's either in you or it's not. It's your passion. And if it's your passion, you're going to find a way to accomplish your goals. You may not reach your end goal, but at least you're going to be striving to get there, right? And again, if you're not passionate about it, you're not going to get there. You've seen players from all different levels of sports that are really, really good players, but they don't have the passion that maybe somebody's not quite as good as, but that person has that passion, whether it's a female hockey player or whatever, or a volleyball player, it doesn't matter what sport it is. If you don't have the passion, you're not getting there.
Do you have those examples in your league that you can think of?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's peculiar to any part of the country, for sure. There's players in whatever sport, as Bill says, if they can do what they want to do if they want to do it, I think Bill raises a good point, though. In terms of the resources that you are required, and hockey's a pretty intense sport in the sense of you need other services to do it. It's not like just going on a court with a ball and, you know, and a net with basketball. And again, not to degrade that in any fashion. It's just a simpler game to participate in that regard. But, you know, the bigger centers seem to have a lot of those resources more frequently than in some smaller centers. But, yeah, you know, whenever we get an opportunity, and I think Bill's the same, we try to impart a message to the players that really, you know, a big part of getting some success and working towards a goal is your attitude and what you believe you can do. And we see that all the time, for sure.
The only reason what's jarring my mind is Peter Schaefer, who you would remember from Yellowgrass, went on to the Vancouver Canucks, played for the Wheat Kings.
Yeah.
We used to have to kick him off the ice so that we could go play as older kids. And it was just, he's going to the NHL.
Yeah.
And he did. Yeah. And I'm just wondering if that's the same thing, or if you're left behind now, if you're not in the performance camps and academies and those kinds of things. That's all that I'm asking. Mm.
From a scouting perspective, when I scouted, I mean, at the end of the day, if a kid's good,
he's
you're going to hear
good.
About him, and you're going to go watch him, right? Yeah. You're somewhere, somehow, you're going to find out about this kid. And if you're a diligent scout, and if you care about scouting and trying to do your job in the best way possible, you're going to go watch that kid. So before we go, William works there. I'd like to thank him for mentioning that the Seattle Thunderbirds play at Kent, Washington. So,
yep.
But you know, again, it doesn't matter what sport. I mean, you know, Rod, when you talk about, you know, character, and you talk about, you know, these young athletes being passionate about their game and training, whatever, regardless of whatever sport they're in. But I mean, that's the same type of person that you're going to want to hire for whatever career path they're going to take, right? If you don't care about your job, then that's probably not the person you want to hire, right? And, I mean, Kim and I were talking on the way over about, you know, different positions and things like that. And you can find anybody to fill the position, but do they really care about the job, right?
Or is it just a job?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference.
Guys, can you stick with me for one more segment?
Yep.
We got questions coming in about your jerseys. We've got questions coming in more about Junior A, some on Triple A. It's not often that you get league presidents in the bunker, so we appreciate your time, and we're going to get to as many listener and viewer questions as we can. Kim Davis here from the MJHL, Bill Chow from the SJHL. It's a Hockey Tuesday, and a sports update is coming up. You're watching the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members, plus members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Time for a Tuesday morning sports update. The Winnipeg Jets are the lone Canadian NHL team in action tonight. They will visit Carolina in one of five games on the schedule. Vegas is at Boston, and the New York Rangers welcome the Islanders. Pittsburgh is in Philly. Chicago entertains Florida. Two contenders in the NBA's Western Conference will meet tonight in Dallas. The Mavericks will take on the Clippers in the only game on the hard court. The Clippers have won three in a row, while the Mavs have won four straight. David Stern's life and career will be celebrated today at a memorial service in New York, 3 weeks after the former NBA commissioner's death. Friends, family, and colleagues from around the basketball world will gather for the ceremony at Radio City Music Hall. Stern was 77. And you can add Brazil to the CFL's 2.0 initiative. The league says it has reached a partnership with the Brazilian Football Federation. Brazil is the 13th country to sign a cooperative agreement with the CFL in the last 14 months. There are more than 18,000 football players registered in regional leagues in Brazil. This sports update is for SeatGiant.ca. Get U.S. sporting events and concerts in Canadian dollars. Enter the promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show viewers. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive, see you at Wendell's, as Wendell adorns the desk every day here on the Rod Peterson Show. Well, we have in the bunker today the president of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Bill Chow, the president of the Manitoba Junior Hockey League, Kim Davis. I was just wowing the guys in the break with where our viewership comes from. Jonathan Zygmunt says, checking in from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Am I saying that right?
I believe so.
Yeah? Yeah? Have you been there?
Well,
you've heard of it?
I've heard of it. I lived in Michigan and played hockey there, so I'm familiar with the name of that place.
Well, good morning, yeah. Jonathan. Now, Brady Witt in Saskatoon writes in and he says, can we talk about the jerseys if you haven't covered it already? Well, Brady, your timing's impeccable. Obviously, you have to explain the jerseys. You're wearing them. And we have a Sastel rep. Jennifer's going to join us a little later to maybe give Sastel's side of it. But, Bill, go ahead.
Well, the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League was approached by Sastel on their program when it comes to Be Kind Online. And basically, it's an anti-bullying campaign. So, they approached us with the showcase and with being able to have a pink and white game to highlight the Be Kind Online. And so, of course, once I talked to Kim and made sure that the Manitoba Junior Hockey League was okay with, playing under this format of being kind online and highlighting that, we reached back to Sastel and here we are, and we've got the jerseys.
And so tomorrow morning's the pink and white game.
Tomorrow morning, yep. And we have over 600 young students from schools in and around Regina coming to the rink to participate in the Be Kind Online game. There's the ceremonies starting at 10:15. The official puck drop for the game will be at 10:33. And then the students will be heading off to Banner Hall for a presentation. And then they'll have a lunch and things like that. So it's going to be quite a day for the students and for the players, because, I think, it's just echoing how we want people to be more open, being willing to talk, being willing to share their stories. Or, when you recognize somebody that's maybe a little bit off on a certain day or whatever the case may be, not being so hesitant in saying, hey, what's going on? Do you need to talk? Do you need a hand? Whatever the case may be.
600 students at the game. And I just want to thank my wife's company, Capital, for providing snacks as well for
yes.
them tomorrow. And I don't want to let out of the bag, pardon the pun, what it is. But I'm excited for the game, too. Kim, what's the MJ's thoughts on being involved in something like that?
Well, when Bill first approached me some time ago, we were big supporters of these sorts of initiatives, for sure. And so we hardly had to think about it, in terms of wanting to support it and participate. The other aspect of it, and there's lots of components to this type of initiative, is the players in our leagues, in our teams, whether they be in Humboldt or or Dauphin or Winkler or Notre Dame or wherever, they have some profile in their communities and they are looked up to in some fashion by particularly younger people, younger students. And so there's an opportunity for these young men that play on our teams to to help make a difference in this sort of initiative. And so we're big, and the players know that. I mean, they may not know it sort of in the form of something they think about all the time, but they when you explain it to them, they understand that they have a role to play, and it's part of what our teams try to do. I mean, the teams are here to develop players in terms of their hockey skills, but they're also a big part of what our teams do in both leagues is help these young men develop as citizens that contribute to their communities. And so sometimes it might be helping a teammate, but sometimes it might be helping someone who is unable to help themselves either with packing groceries or shoveling snow. But just making a solid contribution to the other people in your community and helping as it relates to everything we're trying to do. And obviously, this initiative is really focused on anti-bullying and that message, and that's that's something that's super important to the players.
Well, repeating the message is often to the players. It's all you can do. I mean, yeah. I stood in front of them. You were there. You were both in the room last year when I said you are all role models, whether you want to admit it or not.
Right.
And I think what you're saying is deep down they all know, whether they want to acknowledge it or not or admit it or not, but they all know.
For sure.
They know. Got a few more questions here. One, can Bill talk about the new AAA team in Estevan and what it might mean for the SJHL as a byproduct going forward?
Well, I mean, I think if you take a look at other communities that have SJHL teams that have a AAA team, I guess, Notre Dame has that situation. Yorkton has that situation. North Battleford has that situation. Melfort's close by because they have Tisdale close by. So I think it's reflective. I mean, I think when, from my understanding, and I don't know all the reasoning behind what happened, but from my understanding, there's a large segment of players that came from that area in and around Estevan that played AAA in different parts of the province. And so I think that's the part of their reasoning as to, having a team move there or place there. Because at the end of the day, midget AAA hockey is still minor hockey. It's not a franchise as some people like to think it is, but it's minor hockey. And so, that's SHA made their decision based on, the information that they had.
The Centennial Cup coming to Estevan in 2022. I was popping champagne, not literally, of course, but I was very excited because the Bruins are a favorite team of mine. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's exciting, and I think we'll get a really nice preview going into 2020 here because it's the, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the 100th anniversary.
50th.
50th anniversary, yep, of the Centennial Cup. And Portage, because it started in Manitoba, and so Portage is hosting the 50th anniversary of the Centennial Cup, presented by Tim Hortons. I don't know if I can say that here or not.
But of course.
Okay. All right. I did. So I think for Estevan and its community, I think they have a really nice amount of time. It's almost maybe a bit too long, to prepare. But I mean, I think, as it gets closer and as they, I'm sure they're going to be going to Portage for 2020 and, taking a look-see as to how that's going to run. I'm sure they're going to go to 2021 in Penticton to see how that's going to function and run and pick up some pointers. They hosted the Western Canada Cup here a number of years ago, and it was a very successful event. And a lot of those people that were there for the Western Canada Cup are still there and are still being involved. So I think the success, they've got the blueprint to make it a success, and I think it's just a matter of putting it all to work.
Todd Packer writes in, he says, will Warman be getting a team in the future? They are getting a AAA team. I don't think they're on the SJHL radar, are they?
Well, it's a funny question because we're not out soliciting for teams or for franchises or communities to apply. It's more so that the community itself has to have an interest or whether it's a volunteer group, community board, or whether it's a private person wanting to have that initiative. There has been some talk there, but that talk was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and we haven't had, I haven't had any conversation with anybody else. So, you know, to answer your question about will Warman get a team in the future, it would be a matter of somebody applying and going through that process, you know, with the application going through the Board of Governors of the current SJHL teams, and seeing where that all falls out.
That Jonathan in Michigan writes in and he says, pardon me for my ignorance, but do the SJHL and MJHL try very often to get North Dakota or Minnesota kids to come up and play? I think the Dubs should recruit those ... and it slides off the screen. Well, just check the rosters. There's tons of players from those states. Absolutely, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go ahead. Did you have an answer? Or
yeah, no, I'm just going to say, yeah, there's plenty. There's lots. Yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, from lots of states, for sure. North Dakota, Minnesota, quite a few, but other states in the U.S. as well, for sure.
Last one, because I said I'd let you out of here at 11:30. I've become a big North Stars fan. You saw the jersey when you walked in, probably, for the Battlefords. Braden Klimosko's got unfinished business. And so I'm not following the MJs closely right now as I will come playoff time. So is Portage waltzing to the league title as the hosts of the Centennial Cup? Like, is it going to be a case of you win the SJ and you're automatically going to the Centennial Cup, or is Portage going to get some pushback from somebody?
Well, presently, I think Portage is in third place in our standings. It's really tight, maybe the top five teams. So, you know, to me, it's a dogfight, and it's I don't have a clue who's going to come out at the end. So, I mean, it's that's good, healthy competition, and that's certainly what we're expecting to happen. And we'll see what happens. They'll have to sort it out. As Bill said earlier, it's up to these teams to sort
up
out.
Up to the teams, yeah.
Who's gonna,
is what you want.
Absolutely.
But you know exactly what I'm talking about. The viewers may not. Battleford's kind of romped to the SJHL final championship last year, a five-game series win, but then they didn't put up much of a fight in the end of it. So I said to Braden, how do you top it? Mm-hmm. He goes, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Winning the Enovet and going to the Centennial Cup.
Yeah, for sure.
And they seem to be on a nice roll there. Sheldon, by the way, in Esteban writes in and says the Bruins have at least 5 North Dakota kids on the team. So they've got a nice pipeline coming up from those states. Gentlemen, I'll see you at the rink. Really appreciate you coming in. You
great. Bet. Thanks, Thank Rod. Thanks for having much. Us. Thanks,
you betcha.
Rod.
We'll be back talking a little more, or a little football. We haven't talked hardly any here yet today. It's the Rod Peterson Show. We'll be right back. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females.
Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the snow beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. As always, your questions and comments are welcome via the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. And we'll get to some of those comments coming up. People are writing in about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers announcing their coaching staff today. A bit of a surprise with some of the names on there. Dupes has joined us back in the bunker here as we continue on a Hockey Tuesday. And people are going to say, whoa, who's the new face on there? It's Jennifer McLeod from SaskTel, HR manager there. And she's very involved with the... Actually, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah.
Can you discuss your involvement in the SJHL showcase in the pink and white game tomorrow morning?
Sure, yeah. So like you said, with SaskTel and our flagship corporate social responsibility program is Be Kind Online. So we've had this program for a number of years. We partner with the Ministry of Education, and we have a website full of resources, a grant program and whatnot about spreading kindness online and in your community, as well as cyber safety, bullying and
anti-bullying
yeah. prevention around that. So we tend to work a lot with the schools in and around all over Saskatchewan. And so the SJHL and SaskTel work together in a few different capacities. So it just seemed like a really natural fit that we could maybe get together. I know, as Bill talked earlier, a lot of the players sometimes are even the recipients of some cyberbullying. It's easy to hide behind your phone and whatnot. And so we thought it would be a good way to bring some awareness around that and focus on the kids. And
Darren's going to be hosting the broadcast tomorrow morning, by the way, at the pink and white game at the SJHL showcase. And that's the thing. Jennifer's been sitting here for about an hour and a half. So we wanted to get, so she can get back to work. We're going to do this interview and we'll talk about the football stuff next segment. Mick writes in, my good friend Mick Panko says she is doing an amazing job with our schools. And that kind of actually, I don't know if you know Mick or not, but it kind of funnels into what my next question was. And that is, we're all involved in cyber bullying in a way. But we're adults. Mm-hmm. So obviously you are deep into this program. Right. What sort of real world, what should I say, evidence do you have that you're making a difference?
You know, I would say the grant program for sure. So what we have is a grant program where, as adults, we think we know what we can do to prevent bullying, but really the kids know. They live in this world, so they know what's going to work. So the grant program is really for kids in the community. If they have an idea about how to spread kindness, how to bring awareness to that, they can, with an adult, they can apply for a grant for up to $1,000 to get their idea going. And so we've had tons of great grants. In fact, we just awarded our 100th grant just a few weeks ago. And so we've given away almost $90,000. It's been great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
So I'm not going to ask you to name names, but have you ever had a kid come up to you at a school and said, boy, this helped me in this instance?
I don't really have an example of that, but I do have an example of where they said, you know, this has been so great that I've been able to go out and, start, talking to people or spreading kindness. They really like that, right? And that's really where we try and focus our program is using the internet for something positive as opposed to something negative. And, even starting with, when... Kim was talking about earlier about getting players to connect into their community. It's the same thing. We really want you to start with working well in your community. So we have lots of great schools across the province that have been doing what they call random acts of kindness clubs. That's probably been one of the coolest things that I've seen. And kids have felt that it really makes a difference that, they can reach out to kids when they're feeling down and maybe do something to make
good
them feel
you.
Good. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Darren, what do you have?
Yeah, I was just going to, how much is this the natural fit with the SJHL? Because they're so community-minded and community-based, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. And that I think that is where we saw the natural fit, for sure, is it's it's really, you know, the bullying part is the negative part of the campaign, but really what we try and focus on is the kindness and even trying to prevent the bullying from starting, right? So as opposed to dealing with it after the fact, let's just be kind to start and maybe hopefully never get to that point.
Darren, do you have your pink outfit picked out for tomorrow?
I have some.
I would assume you have.
Yeah, I've got some pink ready to go.
That's great.
Don't worry about that.
You got it all planned?
I got some of it planned.
A puffy,
yeah.
A tie.
I got a little, yeah, pink square and, yeah, tie.
Sask Max Local, Sasktel Max Local TV will have the broadcast tomorrow, plus the SJHL Facebook page. And I'll just say this before we let you go, Jennifer. Like, the SJHL is perfectly positioned. It's a 12-team league. 11 of them are in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Far flung from every corner of the province. You're hitting a lot of kids. And Bill had said earlier that Sasktel came to the SJ to help with this. So how did that happen? Or what made you want to pick the SJHL sort of as your vehicle to help with this?
Actually, you know, I, it wasn't really myself that went.
Right.
It was someone with Sasktel, but I'm not sure exactly how that came about. Mm-hmm. But I think just a natural fit. We do a lot of work with the SJHL on a regular basis. And I think just the demographics of the kids that are going to be playing hockey really match well with the kids that we want to reach. They really look up to them. As Bill mentioned, we have over 600 kids coming. They're from grades about 5 to 8, we have a few grade 4s coming. So really it's just that perfect age that they're excited to see hockey. They're excited to see some of the kids that maybe they look up to in their own, from their own communities, and as well as have a really fun day.
Well, it's such an awesome league, such great people. And we'll be down there today for games 2 and 3 of today's schedule. And then, like I say, Darren will be on the mic tomorrow for the pink game, as I'll be here. Jennifer, anything else that we didn't get to?
No, just if you're coming out to the game, wear some pink. We're going to be handing out pink shirts. All the kids that are coming will be wearing pink, so hopefully we'll be a sea of pink for them.
Outstanding.
The
good job.
Yeah, thanks.
You're all nervous.
Yeah, I was.
You killed it. Okay. We will do audience participation when we come back for an extended overtime segment for Emerald Water. So get your questions ready. Text in as well. We'll be right back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, for the overtime segment proudly presented by Emerald Water. We've got a new viewer, Jonathan in Michigan, who's coming in hot with all kinds of junior hockey questions. And I guess it is a Tuesday hockey show.
Yep.
And I did ask for audience participation, but we do have some other messages here that have come in regarding the Blue Bombers coaching staff and so forth. Jonathan says, any thoughts on the top-end talent coming out of the Dub for the 2021 draft? Looks to be strong so far with Sillinger, Stankoven, Lambos, Roulette. Look, you're new, Jonathan, and I appreciate that, but we'll talk about next year's draft next year. Is that fair?
That's fair.
We prefer to talk about what's right in front of us right now. And what is right in front of us, by the way, is Sports on Tap for the Tap, Brewhouse, and Liquor Store. There are no games in the WHL tonight. It's kind of an odd schedule quirk, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything.
No.
That I know of.
Right.
There's no All-Star game.
NHL's got the week off for the All-Star game.
For the most part.
Jam every game you can down the throats of the fans this week.
You'd think they would.
Anyways.
SJHL, no games last night. No games tonight, unless you count the showcase, which games today, 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 5 o'clock at the Cooperators Arena. It is their version of an All-Star game. But they're actually going to be playing and hitting because the rink is going to be teeming with college and NHL scouts. Now, you mentioned the NHL All-Star break. There are five games tonight. Tonight's the last night.
I think so.
I believe. Golden Knights at the Bruins. Subway Series, Islanders, Rangers. The Jets are at Carolina tonight, Pittsburgh at Philadelphia, and Florida at Chicago. That is the Sports on Tap. For the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store, spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the Brewhouse. Stop by to see them today. On the text line, I did want to mention, guy wrote in from Calgary. He says, Pete Costanza coaching with the Blue Bombers. Boys in blue just got better. Pete Costanza was the longtime receivers coach with the Calgary Stampeders. He left, we're told, because he didn't see any room for advancement within the Calgary Stampeders coaching hierarchy. So he's gone to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and I believe that is the same position with the Bombers. One more. Bill from Saskatoon writes in, and he says, when will the Kaminsky interview be available? I missed it live. Can't seem to find it on Twitter or Facebook page yet. My boy was drafted to LaRange last spring. Eager to hear what he had to say about the town/team. Thanks, Bill from Saskatoon. Well, I love the eagerness, Bill. But it was just last hour. We're still on the air. We're not yet ESPN, are we, that we can cut clips and put them onto Twitter while we're on the air?
Not quite. Well,
is that going to happen?
We can. It'll happen. Oh, yeah. But that'll be up shortly after we're off the air.
12:15, Jordan?
This afternoon, yeah. Put the pressure on. He's sweating now.
Usually 12:20, we get the podcast up. So Bill from Saskatoon, if you can wait till 12:20, when you come back from after lunch, we'll have the Kevin Killer Kaminsky interview posted. That was very popular with our viewers and listeners today.
Yeah, it was. He's a great guy. He's a great man. And everybody in the room was just gets, you know, kind of starstruck a little bit because he has that presence.
Yes, he does.
Right?
For a not very big guy.
Not a very big guy, but just commands your attention, commands your, you know, he has that presence about him. But what a nice guy, too. Down to earth. But with guys like that, you don't want to get on their bad side. You know, it's like you have my respect. And if you do any, as long as you don't do anything to ruin that. Right.
I like a guy that admits that when he snaps up his helmet, he's a snap show. But away from the rink, nicest guy, write your mom a Christmas card, you know, every December. He's that kind of guy.
I often talk about self-awareness being really important. He's got he's got self-awareness. He knows that, hey, all bets are off when that chin strap's done up.
Janelle in Saskatoon writes, thanks for the hockey show today, boys. Well, thank you, Janelle, for watching. Thank you for enjoying it. We need on specific days, I think we've talked about this in our meetings, to let people know what they're going to get. For instance, my Army friend, Brad, the guy that gave me this Army helmet, wrote in today, wanted to know if we think Marcus Ball will replace Derek Moncrief at the Sam linebacker spot. We're like, today's not the day.
Yeah. Not the day.
Not quite. People need to know the days that we're going to be talking football and the days that we're going to be talking hockey.
Yeah.
And there may be the odd baseball day mixed in, but I got to be honest with you, as we look at the poll results today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, who's the greatest Canadian major leaguer of all time? The options, Larry Walker, Justin Morneau, Ferguson Jenkins, or other. As you see for those that are watching on Facebook Live, 74% are saying Larry Walker, who incidentally had a cup of coffee with the Regina Pats, but was cut. Probably the best thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah, no kidding.
74% on Facebook saying Larry Walker, 58% on Twitter saying Larry Walker, and 4% have written in with other names. 4%. So we have named, I think we nailed in our pre-show meeting, the top three Canadians of all time. And it is not the most mouth-watering list, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not. The only other name we came up with was Joey Votto. In recent success, he's very good.
And people don't even like him.
No. I would assume he would account for most of the other vote. But that's about it. I think we nailed the list, and that's not a good thing.
Well, there are baseball people in this province, and you know they were talking about Saskatchewan as a baseball province, and they were saying you should talk more baseball on the show. And I'm like, boys, there just isn't an appetite for it. We tried to name the Saskatchewan kids that have gone to the major leagues of baseball all time. We mentioned one earlier, Terry Poole from Melville.
Yeah.
The other, Andrew Albers from North Battleford, and Regina's Dustin Mullican. That's it. That's three in the majors from Saskatchewan. The St. Louis Blues have three guys playing on one line alone. Hockey players.
Yeah. That's funny.
So,
but it's true. It's true.
It's just we're not a baseball province. And when you sit there and talk about Canadians in Major League Baseball, who's the best? Let's just flip it for a second. If hockey is the national sport here, let's talk about Americans in the National Hockey League. Well, holy smokes, you could fill a Hall of Fame full of Americans. Mike Modano, you know, leading the list. Brett Hull classifies as an American. There are a ton.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a population thing. I don't know. But when you want to sit and talk about the greatest Canadian major leaguers of all time, it's not a long conversation.
It's not. It's topical because of the Hall of Fame
right.
vote and Larry Walker. And I think it's a good one, and we're proud of that. And baseball is growing in, you know, in Canada, and we're able to do those things. But it's just tough because the baseball season is so short, too. But I know that community is a tight-knit community.
Sure.
And they're doing their
best. There's nothing wrong with it.
No, they're doing their best to create, you know, year-round facilities and things like that. But it's just not what it is in the States. It's not America's pastime, right? That's what it is.
Or was.
But it's fading, too, right? So it'll be interesting to see. I really get curious about where sports are going to go, and I wonder where baseball is going to go. Because for the most part, it hasn't adapted a whole lot to changing times and changing behaviors. But
some teams are.
I know they're working at it.
It's a slow go. Jonathan in Michigan hanging on with us, talking about Americans in the National Hockey League, Kane, Modano, Chris Chelios. We could sit here till the cows come home, listing American greats in the National Hockey League. We can't sit here till the cows come home and talk about great Canadians in Major League Baseball. And that, frankly, is a little sad. But as Jonathan agrees, that it is a population thing. I'm holding this note in front of me because Ben Cahoon, remember when the great Ben Cahoon came on the show a couple weeks ago, Canadian Football Hall of Famer out of BYU, these G2G protein bars?
Yeah.
Ben has shipped us a box. How did most of them end up in our sales guy Tyler's fridge at home?
I'm not sure. But that's typically how it goes, isn't it, with the sales guys?
He put it on Instagram and nailed himself.
Yeah.
He outed himself as he stole all these Ben Cahoon G2G protein bars. He was nice enough to give me one. So
we got a bunch in the fridge. We filled the
fridge. I'm totally being facetious.
But you're not. He's got a whole box of them. We saw it on Instagram.
Thanks for giving me one. So for Ben Cahoon, they say this is the best protein bar made. That's what they're saying. Fresh, all natural, healthy, and delicious. Thank you for your purchase. You can order them online. It does not have the website on this particular. Well, this is the receipt basically that came in the box. So I guess if you've ordered, you've already have it. You know what the website was.
Yeah.
There's one location in Saskatoon shipping them out. I understand.
Okay. Yep.
G2GBar.ca.
And they've got the map right on the website, so you can see exactly where they're available near you. So they're pretty good. I know Kelly enjoyed his.
That'll be my lunch today.
Yeah.
Is this G2G protein bar. So, yeah, not a lot of football today. What do we got coming up tomorrow, Clark? Can you let me know? There will be no Darren DuPont because you will be on the mic down at the Pink and White game.
Correct.
For SaskTel and the SJHL.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I love the showcase. I love just hanging out with the hockey guys. That's probably the most fun part of it, getting to visit. So that'll be looking forward to it tomorrow.
Well, me too. Again, you can watch on SaskTel Max TV Local, the SJHL's Facebook page. I got into this business to be on the air, as we've talked about, to be down at the rink, to be down at the stadium, to be interviewing the guys. That's what we're going to be doing. That's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, on this hockey program today, my brother texting me today says, one of the best segments ever on your show today with the hockey guys.
Wow.
So at least we got one fan, my brother, his family. Tomorrow on the program, Taylor Shire from Global Regina, our director of officiating. That should be good.
Yep.
Did you see the NHL players did a poll on who's the worst referee in the NHL? Did you see that? Ooh. Clark, you must have seen that on social media.
I missed the poll. Somewhere. Who did they vote number one?
Justin St. Pierre.
Okay.
Is that
not familiar.
No. So, but if that's an NHL referee, I guess I got to get more down with the NHL referees because I never heard of them. It was just something I very briefly skimmed on Twitter, that the NHL players voted on the worst referee, and I believe the referee's name was Justin St. Pierre. Do you think it's fair that players would anonymously vote on an award like that to make somebody look bad?
They do it to the players. Who's the most annoying, TARDIS to play against, toughest, best.
Overrated.
They do all the player polls. I think it's better that it's anonymous in that sense, but as an official, that's different. He's not exactly one of your, he's not exactly one of your peers. When you're doing it to your peers, that's different. And if you're getting voted the most annoying or the most overrated or whatever, it's not a surprise because they're telling you that on the ice in the beaking and chirping back and forth in the trash talk, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I like pulling the officials into it.
It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Asking if a referee's feelings are hurt because he was voted the worst referee. They're kind of used to it.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't that big of a deal.
They probably don't care so much.
I think we have a new P1, Jonathan in Michigan.
Yeah.
He's written in and he says, I hear St. Pierre's name sometimes during games. He's meh.
Yeah.
You think if he was really bad, you'd really know who he is.
You'd really know, right?
Sort of like Andre Proulx. Everybody hates Andre Proulx, the CFL referee.
Right.
Yet he refs the Grey Cup every year.
I know.
But right? I mean, if you hate him, you'd think everybody would know him.
Would know who he is. Yeah, he'd be famous.
But part of the reason why they took the names off the referees' jerseys is so you don't have a Don Koharski, these kinds of, so they don't become personalities. They've emasculated the officials in the National Hockey League.
Yet Wes McCauley's done it. He's become a personality. And from what I, can understand, it's great for the game having him. The players love it. He's become a personality and part of the game, which I really enjoy.
Continuing on, Taylor Shire on tomorrow's show, our director of officiating. Derek Moncrief of the Vegas Raiders of the National Football League. Enoch Mwamba, star middle linebacker of the Montreal Alouettes. And Clark says a special guest in hour two. That's to be determined. Does that mean you know who it is, Clark? Still working on it, he says. Okay. Mike Lennox writes in. He says, hello from Glendale, Arizona. Hi, Mike. You've tuned in just in time for us to go off the air. But he can go back and rewind and watch the whole show because it was great. Kevin Killer Kaminsky, the podcast will be posted in the next 20 to 25 minutes. Dupes, thanks for your role today.
See you at the rink.
That's right. We'll see you at the SJHL-MJHL Showcase at the Cooperators Arena. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.